Blood spatters across Loan Ashley's white shirt as she witnesses a stranger's gruesome death on a Manhattan street corner. In this moment of chaos, a handsome stranger named Jeremy Crawford offers his assistance, creating an unexpected intimacy between them. Their chance encounter evolves into something more significant when Loan discovers Jeremy's true identity at her publishing meeting. He's married to Verity Crawford, a literary sensation now incapacitated after a catastrophic accident. Desperate to maintain momentum on Verity's best-selling thriller series, the publisher proposes that struggling author Loan complete the remaining novels. Jeremy makes an offer impossible to refuse, $500,000 for all three books. He suggests she stay at their sprawling Vermont estate to access Verity's notes and research materials. The timing coincides with Loan's personal crisis, depleted savings, imminent eviction, and mounting medical bills from her mother's terminal illness. As she drives toward the Crawfords' Vermont home, Loan can't shake an overwhelming sense of foreboding. Jeremy's revelation about the family's tragic history, losing twin daughters Chasten and Harper within months of each other, followed by Verity's accident, seems almost too tragic to be coincidental. What begins as a professional opportunity starts to feel like stepping into a carefully laid trap. The Crawford home stands imposingly in Vermont, a gray stone structure with a blood-red door. Inside, Loan meets Verity's nurse, April, before entering Verity's chaotic office, where papers cover every surface. Jeremy explains that Verity wrote everywhere, on napkins, notepads, even their son's diapers. The world was her manuscript. Jeremy's comment that he didn't like being inside her head proves prophetic. While organizing materials, Loan discovers So Be It, Verity's autobiography. Despite her assignment, she can't resist reading it. The manuscript begins with Verity's belief that autobiographies must reveal brutal truths. She recounts meeting Jeremy at a charity event wearing a stolen dress, their instant attraction leading to three passionate days until he discovered the one thing that meant more to him than I did. As Loan delves deeper into Verity's thoughts, unsettling occurrences plague the house. Nighttime noises, moving curtains, and a persistent sense of being watched. With each chapter of Verity's autobiography, Loan uncovers a psychological horror story. The manuscript reveals a woman devoid of maternal instinct, a mother consumed by pathological jealousy and capable of calculated violence against her children. Verity's pregnancy with twins triggers intense resentment, especially after Jeremy declares he loves them more than her. She responds by secretly mixing sleeping pills with wine to induce miscarriage, and in one horrifying instance, attempts a dangerous self-abortion that she abandons only when severe bleeding starts. After the twins' birth, Verity maintains a perfect maternal facade for Jeremy while systematically neglecting the babies, sleeping with noise-canceling headphones through their cries. A nightmare where she sees Harper attempting to smother Chasten becomes an obsession, leading to excessive attachment to one twin while growing increasingly hostile toward the other. The manuscript culminates in Harper's death, revealed as a meticulously planned tragedy. During a family outing, Verity deliberately capsizes their canoe and, while rescuing crew, intentionally allows Harper to drown, transforming an apparent accident into calculated murder. Despite the darkness surrounding them, Loan and Jeremy are drawn together with frightening intensity. Their attraction builds through lingering glances and brief touches during late-night manuscript sessions, their conversations growing increasingly intimate. Their restraint breaks during a midnight birthday celebration when Jeremy wipes icing from her lip, leading to a kiss both tender and desperate, a moment of shared yearning and unspoken guilt. Their physical relationship intensifies, born of shared trauma and forbidden desire. Finding Verity's teeth marks on Jeremy's headboard, Loan leaves her own deeper marks in possessive defiance. During intimate moments, Jeremy reveals that while he loved Verity, their connection was performative. She was beautiful but unreachable. He feels more authentic with Loan than he ever did with his wife. Their relationship becomes a dance of omissions, with Loan questioning if their connection can survive once all secrets surface. Each intimate moment carries the weight of her hidden knowledge, creating a psychological distance despite their physical closeness. When Crew mentions Verity speaking to him at night, Loan's suspicions are confirmed. After Crew has an accident requiring Jeremy to take him to the hospital, Loan seizes her chance to investigate. She locks Verity's door and searches for a baby monitor, discovering in the basement that someone has been rifling through the boxes containing the manuscript. Through the monitor, Loan witnesses the shocking truth. Verity, supposedly paralyzed, moves deliberately around her bedroom. When Jeremy returns, Loan shows him both the manuscript and evidence of Verity's deception. Confronted, Verity's vacant expression transforms into cold awareness as she reveals the truth about Harper's death. It was intentional. Overcome with grief and rage, Jeremy attacks Verity. Loan suggests making her death appear natural, and Jeremy complies, staging the scene to suggest she choked, a believable end for someone in her condition. 7 months later, Loan and Jeremy live in a beachfront home in North Carolina. Loan is pregnant, and Crew sees a child psychologist to process his trauma. During a final visit to Vermont, Crew mentions drawings hidden in Mom's floor. This reminds Loan of Verity working at her bedroom floor. Investigating, she discovers a loose floorboard containing photographs, a kitchen knife, and a sealed letter from Verity to Jeremy. The letter reveals Verity's manuscript was merely a writing exercise, an attempt to write from a villain's perspective. After Harper's accidental death, Jeremy found the manuscript and, believing it real, tried to kill her in the staged car accident. She feigned her injuries while planning escape with Crew. Faced with this revelation, Loan destroys the letter, sparing Jeremy from this version of truth. She chooses to be his light, convincing herself that Verity was dangerous, regardless of which story was real. What makes Verity brilliant is its final ambiguity. Which version is true? Verity's manuscript, revealing her as a psychopathic mother, or her letter claiming it was fiction? Both narratives are equally plausible and disturbing. If the manuscript is true, Loan and Jeremy protected Crew from a monster. If the letter is honest, they killed an innocent author exploring dark psychology through her writing, something all writers do. This ambiguity forces us to question perception and the stories we tell ourselves. Like Loan, who chooses the version she can live with, we must decide which narrative feels true. The final image of Loan and Jeremy awaiting their baby carries both hope and dread. Their future is built on secrets and possible murder. The cycle of tragedy may continue, or they've escaped the darkness that consumed Verity. The most terrifying stories aren't about supernatural monsters, but the darkness within ordinary people. How love becomes obsession, protection becomes control, and truth becomes whatever narrative helps us sleep.